Welcome to Top Self, the podcast dedicated to relax your mind, achieve change, and become a healthier, more present you. Are you ready to move past the daily anxiety, comparing and doubting yourself, and feeling like you're not enough? I'm your host, Shannon Bryant, and I've ruined many good relationships because of my jealousy and stayed way too long in some bad ones because of my insecurity. But I stopped letting fear drive my actions, and now I can't wait to share with you as I dive into these emotions, shed light on how they might be impacting your life, and uncover strategies to break free from their grip. It's time to start living a life of confidence. So get ready to ignite your self-worth and transform your life, because my friend, you are worthy. I have international number one best-selling author of Strength of the Oak, Strength of the Willow, Andrew Anderson. Welcome.
Thank you.
I'm so happy that you are here with us today because I know you have a lot to share, but I wanted to start with the title of your book. I love symbolism, and it seems as though there's something to the name of your book. So can you describe, like, why those two trees? What does that mean?
Absolutely. Well, I had a wonderful coach who told me, Andrew, sometimes your oak-like strength is maybe too strong and you need some willow strength. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he introduced to me the differing and complementary strengths of an oak, which could be summed up in the one word I use, which is courage, and the strength of the willow, which is compassion. And so we need to be strong enough that we can withstand the storms of life and willing to bend without breaking and have that grace, passion for ourselves and others.
Sometimes that's a difficult balance to play. How do we know when we need to do that for ourselves? And then how do we do that? Because it is very difficult. Life can seem at times really hard. And so, of course, we're hard on ourselves. We're hard on sort of our idea sometimes of how the day is going, how our life's going. Right. And it seems more on the difficult side. So how do we balance that? And how do we get back over with the compassion when we're too far the other way?
Sure. Well, like a pendulum or a teeter-totter or anything else that goes back and forth, it's not about balance. In fact, balance is one of those words that we get caught up in when it comes to personal growth and development. Maybe like a Christian might get caught up with perfection. It's not achievable. Nothing is truly in balance. Everything is always in movement. And what we actually need is counterbalance. The grace, right? And the permission to say, I am over here today, all in on my work. And the permission to say, I am over here today. I am all in with my family. And having that ability to counterbalance and that willow-like strength allows us to show up when it is time to be firm with our non-negotiables, our life mission, our values, our principles. Those are the things that we should never bend on. And yet the application of those life mission, values, principles, and how is where we do need more of that willow-like strength.
I like that you said the counterbalance, because it is something that we really struggle with, even though we hear all the time, life's not fair. You know, there's going to be hard times and good times. When we're in those hard times, we question that, like, why is this happening? Why shouldn't life be fair? And not understanding that that's sort of part of the good, right? Like, there's bad that comes with good. And so we get really stuck in, why is this happening? And everything should be good. And when it's not good, that means there's a problem.
Exactly. Well, it's almost like we think that life is happening to us. And if that's true, then everything that is unfair, everything that hurts, everything that is bad is somehow, you know, hurting us. And if we can simply shift one word in that question from why is this happening to me to why is this happening for me, then there is a seed of potential, you know, greatness in every good or bad thing that is happening for us. We just have to find out what that is.
Can you give an example of something that maybe even you went through where, because sometimes that can be really hard. Like, I don't see this being good for me at all, or, you know, anything to it.
I'll give you a funny one and then I'll give you a serious one. Is that fair?
Okay. Yeah.
As we're talking about fairness. I have a beautiful office space that I lease because I have 7 children and I choose not to work from home because I am sane. And I have loved this space and they let me know that the lease isn't up for renewal. And I was just like, oh my gosh, like this space is beautiful. It's the exact size. It's within 6 minutes of a drive time from my house. And I was immediately checked like, okay, Andrew, this is a small thing. And can you live what you preach now? And so I just quickly said, okay, why is this happening for me? There is a better opportunity. There's something that's waiting that the universe and God are saying, just forget what you think is awesome right now and just let it go. That very day, a gentleman messaged me on Facebook that I haven't talked to in years. And I just decided to pick up the phone and call him. I found out that he has extra space in his office that is 3 minutes from my house as opposed to 6 minutes. And the space is better. He has recording equipment for when I'm doing my own videos. He's got it all. It's $500 less per month than what I'm currently paying. So there's a fun, silly example of, you know, why is this happening for me rather than why is this happening to me?
Yeah. Okay. So two things before we go on to the serious one. Congratulations on 7 children. That's amazing. So then the second part though is, what if then, like, it doesn't happen in a positive way right away? Like, you didn't have that thing come up, or we didn't have the office space that is actually better. How are we able to still keep that same thought process or same mentality to really get us through that tough time?
Sure. Those moments can be very, very frustrating. Okay. And let's go right into my more serious story.
Okay.
And then I'll teach you how I learned to do it and how I coach others to do so as well. When expectations aren't met, there's an extreme letdown. And you can call it frustration, you can call it disappointment, you can call it, it's depressing, right? Whatever it is, it causes anxiety, all of the things. And I went through a separation for 6 months. And I believe that we were working on what needed to happen for us to get back together. We had 3 beautiful little girls, and it was Easter morning that she handed me divorce papers. That is a heavy gift to receive on Easter. I thought I was applying all the correct principles of mindset, and I was being humble, and we were doing everything that it took, and it didn't work out. And within a matter of about 2 months, we were divorced, and I was living full-time in my parents' basement at 28, 29, 30 years old. It would have been very easy for me, and I did at times, play the victim card. And I often did question, like, why are you doing this to me? As if, you know, it was like my punishment.
Yeah.
So what I learned was to turn that frustration into fascination. And when you're fascinated by something, you're able to ask a lot of questions because you're curious. And so instead of playing that victim card, I started to say, okay, what do I need to learn that will help me be a better father? What do I need to learn that will help me be a better husband the next time? Because I am getting remarried. That was my goal. And what am I able to take from the career that shattered with the marriage that will empower me to bless even more people in a more significant way in this next opportunity? And I just became a detective, and I just started looking for and finding everything that this could possibly do for me from a place of fascination and curiosity rather than frustration.
You know, that self-awareness piece that we can really dig into out of curiosity, and we both know, we're both coaches, curiosity is such a game changer when you get curious, ask questions, look at things differently, or even being open to the possibility of looking at something in a different way than you first perceived it.
Right. And if you can do that, Shan, then what happens is your time of learning and growing and building muscles and all of the things that you need mentally and emotionally is increased when you're not getting the results that you want and need. And to recognize that it's not failure, right? It doesn't mean that you're not good enough or you're not doing the right thing. It's that you're getting feedback. There is no failure, only feedback. You're just getting feedback on how to do it different and better. And it's a masterclass that may last 6 months or 6 years or whatever it is. We can't curse those heavenly timetables, just like we can't pull up the sapling to see how it's doing in its growth process. We just trust the timetable and recognize that the fruit will bear when it's ready. And maybe it's not this season, maybe it's next.
Us being patient or trying to be patient, especially when we're in turmoil, is really difficult sometimes. And I think that's probably where this courage piece comes in, right?
That's right. And I love the word courage. I chose the word courage for the strength of the oak because it comes from the French word cœur, which means heart. And so when we have courage, we are leading with our heart. And we can truly do things from a place of our heart that we can't do when we're in our head, because our head will always talk us out of something that our heart needs to be true. And so when we can have the courage to be unyielding in our commitment to what our heart is calling us to do, then it allows us to have that patience because we're all in, we're committed. There's no backing down. Burn the freaking boats.
Yeah, I always say it's harder to do something that you decided to do than it is to do something you're called to do. So I want to talk about forgiveness because you talk about forgiveness. I think you have 7 steps to forgiveness. Tell me a little bit about the forgiveness piece, why this is important, and then we can talk through the 7 steps to that.
Most people that are struggling or in pain or they're feeling like maybe they are a victim or, you know, they don't see a way out. What they need, and they don't know they need this, but what I have found in working, you know, with over 700 individuals and coaching right for the last 8 years is what they really need is they need to feel free. And when we feel free, we have choices. And if we don't feel free, then we don't feel like we have any choice. And we really do feel like a victim. And forgiveness is a secret key that unlocks that freedom. But I can't go to someone and say, you know what you need? You need to forgive yourself and everyone else. Because that doesn't validate where they're at. And yet it's always the answer. When I'm doing deep, deep release work with someone that's struggling with emotional pain or limiting beliefs and they just can't get past it, there is always that key of forgiveness that unlocks that freedom. So that's where we start.
Forgiveness is important. I had a very rough relationship with my dad. People were encouraging me my entire life to have a relationship, like do the forgiveness, you know, forgive him, do that and have a relationship with him. I had to get there on my own and I had to be ready to, okay, let me forgive for myself, certainly. I think there are, you know, maybe there are times where people, I think, feel like they're not deserving of forgiveness. They don't feel like they're able to forgive.
Not able, or that person or themselves is not worthy of it, or that somehow, this is one of the other great myths. If I forgive, it somehow justifies the wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to give that person or myself any leeway to ever do something like that again to me or anyone else. So I will keep them in this place of perceived pain so that they won't ever do it. It's just a big, big lie. It's not true.
Yeah. A place of perceived pain. That's good. Yeah. I think because we feel as if, okay, if I'm not forgiving and I don't let that guard down, then that is my way of protecting myself, protecting, you know, against them. And so as long as I'm doing that, then there's this false sense of nothing, you know, they can't hurt me.
Yeah.
But we know there's so much hurt going on because of what they're holding, right?
Yeah. And they don't know that. And so again, I can't just say, you just need to forgive yourself and forgive everyone. Can you do that? Great. Here's how you, what we do. In fact, we'll just go right into it.
Yeah.
I call it the 7 proven steps to forgiveness of others and yourself. But the very first thing we do is we got to stop resisting. And I'm sure you've heard it said that what we resist persists. I add on another little qualifier at the end there. If what we resist persists, then what we lean into, we can actually learn from. So the first step of the 7 proven steps to forgiveness of others and yourself is to acknowledge and assess the pain and the damage and call it out and be real and just validate and recognize what those emotions are and what you have believed to be true about yourself because of what you felt.
Leaning into it, taking a look at it instead of like, I'm just going to keep ignoring this, like eventually I'm going to have to look at it, right?
Yeah, ignoring it or suppressing it or just pretending, but just acknowledging it, assessing it, and then really recognizing what have I believed true because of what I felt. Mm-hmm. And that could be, I'm not lovable. I'm not forgivable. That person has taken something from me that I can never have back. And therefore, like getting very real, is gets to the point of your value, which is, again, I'm not worthy. I'm not enough. I'm not lovable. I can never be whole again.
This is what we talk about on this podcast is self-worth and knowing that, you know, that's, you have that, like you are worthy, but we definitely get to places in our belief system based on our past, based on things that may have happened, where then we start telling ourselves that we're not, and we drive from that place.
It's an unconscious action that is taking place in your brain, in your thought process. And if you already knew that this was happening, you would have done something about it because you're smart. As you're listening to this, I want you to recognize that you have everything in you. You were wired to show up in a place of compassion and take care of this. You just need to have someone help you see it for what it is.
Yeah. Okay. So what's the next step?
What's the next step? Okay. Well, this one gets tricky. And if you're in a session with me, I'll ask, what do you gain from holding on to this? And guess what most people say? They almost always say, I don't gain anything. Like, I know that, Andrew. And I say, good job. That's the right answer. But there actually is, in some sick way, you are gaining something that your unconscious mind believes is helping and serving and protecting you that actually isn't. So what is that? And that's the next step. Like, let's shine light on this and recognize, what are you gaining? Is it a sense of protection? Is it a sense of justification? Is it pride? Are you gaining the ability to just identify, like, this is me. This is who I am. It's my identity. And if I'm not this, I don't know who I'm going to be. So I'm just going to be this, right? So really seeing what is happening and what you are holding on to by not letting go of it.
I mean, and sometimes it could be more than one thing, right? Like, I might be holding on to it because of more than just, you know, I feel like this is my identity, or, you know, several things that could be going on. Yeah.
Yep.
So sometimes, yeah, there's usually more than one thing, huh?
Yeah.
To work on.
And then the very, like, there's 2 parts of this second step. The thought is, okay, well, could you get this in some other way or something even better? Because, like, if you can recognize that, yeah, this is serving me to some extent, but I could get this or something better in some other way, then wouldn't you rather just do it in some other way? And
yeah. That's
a no-brainer. People are already like, oh my gosh, yes, of course. Like, this is harmful. I don't like this.
Yeah. I love taking it to that next level of, okay, now I've identified what my payoff is, what I get from this, what benefit I think there is for me. So is there a different way to get that benefit?
Yeah. And then once you identify that there is, there's a possibility. And so the third step is to just get permission and ask yourself literally for permission to be free and allow yourself to say yes, right, to the possibility of that, you know, there is an actual better way. So that's the third step. It's just give yourself permission, like, to be free.
So what do you think it takes to, like, get that permission? Or how do you know, like, okay, I've said it? Because I feel like this has happened to me before where I'm saying, I'm going to forgive myself that I did that or forgive myself that that happened, but then I really don't, right?
It's probably because you, no one coached or guided you through those first two steps. You didn't actually truly assess and acknowledge what this was doing to you and what you were experiencing by holding on to it. And then you did not recognize that you can get this or something much better in another way. Because if you know there's a better way, you're going to seek that instead. Mm-hmm. We just do. We always want the better, easier, faster, you know, sexier, cheaper way.
Right.
And if we don't believe that that's possible, then we'll keep doing what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point. Good.
Right. So next step, there's a learning. And I call this step preserving the learnings. Like, what is it that you need to learn from this experience? The learning of which will allow you to let go of the emotion. Now that's where things come that I would have never thought of. But your unconscious mind is holding on to it. And once it learns what it needs to learn, then it can let go. And that learning is the letting go. Because once you know that you're safe, that you're whole, that you're lovable, that you're worthy, once you have that knowledge, there's no reason to keep what it was that was you're clinging on to.
So do you feel like that's something that is almost one of those, like, I love a click moment, like where it's like, oh,
yep,
my life was just different 30 seconds ago. Yeah. And now it can never be the same. Like, I love that. I learned this now. And it's that sort of immediate.
Yeah. Once you know something, you can't unknow it. Like, you can't do both. It's impossible. So you're either going to hold on to that old false belief, or you're going to completely embrace and fall in love with this truth.
That's an exciting step. Yeah.
But once we have those learnings, then the next step is to then step into that better way. And I call it stepping into the light. What's possible now? What do you see that you couldn't see before? What is in your future that you can begin to dream about and scheme about and put all of your, you know, like, wow, I had no idea. I had no idea, because the load was so heavy. I didn't know I could run so fast. That's the next step, was stepping into that lightened space with this new lightened load.
What do you think the number one thing is that keeps people stuck? Like, if you had to say, you know, maybe it's not a specific situation, but what's the number one thing that keeps people from achieving those things that they want to?
Yeah, I think the number one thing that keeps people stuck is deceit. You want to know what I mean by that?
I do want to know what you mean by deceit.
Deceit. Believing something to be true about yourself or the world or the universe or God, whatever that beliefs, that, like, believing something that just wasn't true. And then building all of your frameworks and all of your principles and life values and models and relationships off that one piece of deceit. And when we can get to that root in this forest of aspens, then we can, instead of trying to go and take down every single tree, we can get to that taproot. We can put TNT there. We can blow the hell out of the whole forest.
Have fear and lack of confidence taken over your life? Is your constant anxiety keeping you distracted, holding you back from a successful career, a healthy relationship free of jealousy, or living the life you know you were meant to have? If you're ready to relax your mind, achieve change, and be a healthier, more present you, then book your free 30-minute discovery call today to see how I can help. I let my feelings of low self-worth get in the way for far too long, but I discovered a path to a calmer mind, learned how to be confident in my relationship, allowing me to feel present again in my own life. If you're looking to take your relationship or your career to the next level, or you just want to accelerate your journey to your top self, the link to book your free discovery call is in the show notes. Now back to the show. You know, we talk a lot about deceit on this podcast, and it's one of the things people are extremely afraid of.
Right.
And it's that, like, I don't want somebody to get over on me again. I don't want this to surprise me again. And so we spend our whole lives preparing to not be deceived, to not be tricked. And we lose the journey, right? We lose the interesting parts of life.
Well, because you're playing not to lose. And no team ever wins a game by playing defense the whole time. Because you're missing out on opportunities to score. You're missing out on opportunities to love, to laugh, to just live your fullest and best. So if you recognize that, hey, this is a long game, I'm going to score as often and as joyfully as I can. And I'm going to get beat up along the way. And we're going to get scored against. But in the end, if my life is full of more love and joy and meaning than all the other things, then I will have won. So we play to win rather than not to lose.
Yeah, because that feeling of deceit is so strong. Like when that happens and you feel totally tricked, it's almost like loving the click, but in reverse click of like, oh gosh, you know, I thought everything was this way. And in an instant, I have realized it's not. And that feeling is just so deep and emotional that, of course, it's creating all of those tags in your brain of like, this, I never want to do this again. I never want to experience this again.
Right.
Because it's so strong.
Yeah. And yet you're free from it. Because if you truly are able to see that light, you know, the proverbial light at the end of the tunnel, and you recognize that, wow, like, there is something that I didn't even know was possible inside of me, outside of me, in this world, right? Like once you're awakened to that, then there's no turning back. It's just not even an option. Like, why would I? Why would I ever go back?
Sometimes it's so hard to see the difference, you know, what it would look like, because we get so stuck in this is how I operate and this is what I experience and this is what I do. It's hard to see that there's any other way.
We identify sometimes with it. Instead of it just being this thing, it's like it becomes a part of us. We take it personal. And once something is taken personally and it becomes our identity, now we're talking ego. And that ego is just one of the most challenging things to drop. You know, that identity that is sabotaging you, that's not you.
Yeah.
Tricky.
Yeah, good one. Okay, do we have one more? The last step, right?
Yeah, we got two more. The next
two more. Okay.
Number six is seal the deal. Like, what actions now do you need to take to really seal the deal and be 100% free to move forward? Like, do you need to approach the person or yourself, or maybe you write a letter or you write a burn letter? Like, what is it that will truly anchor this for you so that you can have, if you want to call it closure, but I really say, like, what's the door that we need now open? And then when it swings shut, as we walk through it, we're safe. And then once you take that action, it creates new neural pathways in your brain that are now creating this new reality for you. The last step I actually discovered while I was writing this book, which was really cool. I recognized that if we want to continue to move forward, we can't ever go back. So the last step is ensure protection. Like, if you truly do need to protect yourself from potential heartache in the future, then you got to set up safeguards by either asking others for help or creating your own boundaries. You got to have a plan for protection.
I like the boundaries piece. We hear boundaries all the time, but one of the things that I find interesting about boundaries is, like, we almost inevitably set them up too late. So I love being prepared, especially even going into relationships of setting those things up front, having those conversations, like before people decide to move in together, before people decide to have children together, like make sure that you're all on the same page and not wait until, because what I think might be a boundary that's just, you know, common knowledge to everyone, or I think like, well, everybody knows you're not supposed to do that.
Right.
Not always true.
No. So we usually get into relationships, whether it's a relationship with a car that we buy or a person that we love. We get into relationships because chemistry is high. And it's an emotional decision. And when chemistry is high, clarity is low. And what happens over time is when the chemistry drops, you're like, oh my gosh, did you see that this car doesn't have length, or that this person doesn't have eyebrows? What the? I swear you had eyebrows when we met, right?
Yeah.
And you begin to see things that you didn't see before because clarity was low because chemistry was high. So when we can agree upon and set expectations and boundaries, right? Whether it's with this car that we're going to have warrantied or this relationship, then we can prepare ourselves because we set those expectations and we checked in, inspecting what we were expecting on a consistent basis, rather than just hoping and praying that everything worked out.
Yeah. Well, I know what you mean, Andrew, about clarity being low and chemistry being high in terms of purchasing cars. My 73-year-old mother drives a lime green Jeep named Misbehavin.
Well, what that?
Total chemistry high, clarity low. So, yeah, it works across the board, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Well, those are fantastic steps. The book sounds amazing. Like I said, I'm in love with the title. Do you mind running through that just really quickly? Because I think it's important to understand the book title and that symbolism with those trees, because then people can have that visual to think through, like, okay, this is the counterbalance to this.
Sure. Well, they have differing strengths. And what makes an oak so strong is that before it ever sends out any horizontal roots, before it ever shoots out a sprout that, you know, breaks ground and heads towards the light, before it does anything, it first sends a vertical tap root down to a source of water. And once connected to that source, it always has something to pull and draw nutrients. Most people are trying to figure out what they want to be when they grow up without first identifying what is my purpose. And in my book, I call it your life mission. And when you are rooted and grounded through that source, and you know why you're here on this planet and what you want to be said about you when you leave, then you truly have that life-giving nutrition to withstand any of the storms that an oak tree can withstand. So that's where the oak gets its strength, from that taproot, that source of water. Now, I'll tell you about what makes the willow unique. So the willow often grows on banks of rivers, ponds, and lakes. And a willow tree does not have that same root system, because its goal is not longevity. Its goal is to continue to produce over and over and over again. So when you see willow branches strewed across the ground, you're like, oh my gosh, this is so annoying. What's happening is when one of those willow branches is put into the ground, like you can literally just pick it up and stick it into the ground, it will grow another tree. And so the oak has this, I'm never going to die. I'm never going to break. I'm going to be the strongest tree. And the willow says, I'm going to get back up and I'm going to try again. And I'm going to produce new life, and I'm going to share this storm and create all the goodness that I possibly can. And so if it does go down and the root system fails, it continues to live on in another tree.
Oh, love it. Love it. Thank you so much for sharing that. I appreciate it. And I appreciate all of the great information that you shared with us today. If someone wanted to find you, where can they find you?
Yeah, they can come knock on my door. I live in Boise, Idaho. Or there's this thing called Amazon, and you can find my book, Strength of the Oak, Strength of the Willow, How to Find Courage and Passion at Your Minute World on Amazon. They can also follow me. I'm sure you'll put the tag at Andrew L. Anderson 85. I'm on social media every day, and my website, AndrewLAnderson.com. And I'd also love to give your listeners a gift with your permission. Would that be okay?
Oh, they love gifts. What do you got?
They send an email to Andrew at AndrewLAnderson.com. And in the subject line, they just put Shannon gift. Then we're going to send them two choices, not one, but two. Because I like choice. I send them two choices to let them dive into my book immediately without having to wait for Amazon to deliver it.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much. We appreciate you being here and wonderful information. Go out, get Andrew's book, Strength of the Oak, Strength of the Willow. Nice to have you here.
Thank you, Shannon. Thank you to your listeners. What an incredible tribe you have. I honor them and I honor you.
Thank you.